We're still studying Luke 24, I mean Luke 14, 26, and we're at 8. We've got a couple more days on it, so bear with me. Go to Amos 5. I swear we're going to do sword drills one day. Whatever they call, is that what they call them? Gary, it takes you longer to find a scripture than anyone in the history of the known universe. Because he just does it with one finger. Amos 5.
I put my second hand up and Amos jumped out.
Amos 5. Verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. This is a biggie. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And what does the day of the Lord mean? Anybody? That's the days of Messiah. That's what the day of the Lord means.
Right, self-seeking.
But the day of Messiah has been and are now. So to desire the day of the Lord means that you desire to escape something. This is the big conundrum in modern Christianity. All right, now watch. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, to what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. We could go on and on. It's apostasy, not faith. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
As if a man did flee from a lion, and the bear met Tom.
Yeah, regardless of his voice.
Yeah. Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. I will not appreciate or give any importance to. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace of offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I'll not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now that's kind of interesting. Let's see what Isaiah says about it. Go to Isaiah 65, I think. No, Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Where is the house? Where is the temple? Is what it says. House and temple are the same word. Where is the house? Where is the temple that you build for me? Where is the place of my rest? Anybody understand what that means? Where is the place of his rest? In his temple. You are the place of his rest. If you're not at rest, you got things to do, then that's not true. Let's for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's the place of his rest. Amen. What's the difference between trembling at his word and justification?
Complete opposite.
I know, but that's what happens if you don't tremble at his word.
And that's the fear of the Lord, isn't it?
Right.
Tremble at his word. Yeah.
But if you don't tremble at his word, then you will automatically justify your lack of faith. This way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until you're not in the picture. Your mind has been emptied so that you have the mind of Christ. The channel is clear. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. And he that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, and that's a parable of prayer, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, their soul delighteth in their abomination. You've tried to make the gospel pleasing to you. It's again, that's just another aspect of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing he hates. There's no trembling at his word. There's finding half scriptures that justify what man wants. I also will choose their delusion. And will bring their fears upon them. What does it mean to choose the delusions? His spirit will select your delusions, the one to choose. He will choose that, or select the one that will cause you the most pain and suffering. Why?
Where you're maintaining your
so that you come to the end of yourself. So that you come to a place of poverty, of poorness. I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delight not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy and their shame. And we could go on and on. It's the kingdom of God is everything that you think it isn't. That's why your fornications, the coming out of the gates of impurity, the impurity is everything that you think is good. Why is God doing this? Why is this Holy Spirit doing this? This is what Jesus said. This Holy Spirit, when he has come, he's not a comforter. That's a terrible translation. It means to lay alongside is the literal meaning. But what he's doing is convicting the world, convicting you of sin, because you believe not on him. You've got something else besides faith going on. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, the only righteousness, is he's gone to the Father. And judgment, only judgment that's valid, is that the prince of the world has been judged. I promise you, if you don't see that, then you will call the evil good and the good evil. Communicating to anybody? Everybody, you must accept it. You're silent. We're about to come upon a scripture that blows everybody's mind. It says, he that forsaketh not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, forsake is a word there. It's funny. It's kind of a funny one. It means to bid adieu or to bid goodbye. Turn your back on. Well, let's look at Isaiah 1 again. We could go on this one. Everybody, I mean, this is big because it's again, it emphasizes its meaning and why hate is important. I hate the false way. I hate vain. I hate thoughts. Remember we studied yesterday?
Yeah.
And as he is in the world, so are we. But are we, or are you something different?
Let me throw this one in there. What about, it talks about the meditations of my heart. How is that not thoughts?
Well, it's again, the heart is just means the inner man. It's cardia, and it translates as heart all the time, but it just means the inner man. Your heart doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any self-consciousness, so I'm not aware.
The meditations of my inner man.
Well, that's Christ.
I know it means that. So
that can only come. That only happens when you've emptied.
So there's got to be a distinction here about, you know, thoughts doesn't cover the map. There is some place where Christ contemplates his Father, people, the life. Something there that's valid to me.
Right. Praise. Thankfulness.
Yeah.
No matter what the issue is. Well, it's singing a new song. The new song is a song that has no reference to you.
So in the saying of no thought, that's only talking to the old man.
Well, it's talking about anything that doesn't have the component of eternity. Let your speech and therefore your thoughts be seasoned with salt. If any man speak, let him speak from the oracle of God.
You know, there might be an answer for this in the temptation of Christ. The answers that he gives to Satan, whether that was Satan there or whether it was his mind, those are the meditations. They don't have the word I in there.
Well, that's part of the meditations, but the meditations are...
That's an example of meditations, is what I was saying. It doesn't have the word I in any of those meditations.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Stick your tongue out. We'll read it.
I'm going to have to use one of the Antichrist machines here.
What do you want to look up?
Well, I don't know what to say yet. I know what the scripture is, but I can't even remember the. It answers your question about meditations of your heart. Well, I'm gonna have to. I'll find out. Huh?
When it comes, let us know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going back to Isaiah 1.
I tell you what makes me think about that is that even in that state of contemplating life, you can hear your thoughts and discern good from evil in that. If your thoughts are self-centered, then that's fruit necessary for repentance. And you do. But it kind of puts you in touch with your inner man, where the evil forces are generated, or abandonment is generated.
Well, the only thing that does all that is repentance.
But that's the food for repentance right there, is what I'm saying. Is you don't have anything to repent of except you see it in you. And you recognize what it is and you can turn from it.
All right, let's... Let's start verse 2 of chapter 1 of Isaiah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib or stall. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of thy foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard. as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. And that's a bad translation. It says, except the Lord of hosts had left us a seed, we should have been as Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah. You understand? I mean, does anything in that speak to you?
Yeah.
There's no soundness in it from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Unto me, saith the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my court? Bring unto me, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is or prayers is what incense is abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands to pray, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the blood, eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts or bribes, and followeth after reward. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin, etc., etc., etc. Now we can say, well, that was talking to the Jews. No, it's equally talking to us. If we have left any self within us. Let's go to one more, Isaiah 57.
Only I don't understand why Isaiah was very visionary or prophetic, but why was he so absolutely disgusted with the world? That's what it sounds like.
Well, it's not the world, it's believers.
Believers.
Yeah. It's us. Isaiah 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. The merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, but they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near here, hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and of the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are not the children of a transgression? And are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain, that's one of the seven hills, if you will, of your mind, hast thou set thy bed, even there thou hast went up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed when thou sawest it. Now, what is this loving your bed where you saw it? What is that talking about? It's talking about the vanity of your thoughts when you let your mind go. The total and complete dealing of all, and it's all, if you're like every other mind, it's all about this thing that's going to take place in your imagination.
It's where your intimacies are.
Right. Thou wentest to the king with ointment and didst increase thy perfumes, did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself, did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of the way, but thou sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou hast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied, hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let the companies deliver thee. And that means all these little guys that were allies in your thoughts. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them away, all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And in Hebrew it's far stronger. It's he that putteth his trust exclusively, only in me. Never in your abilities. Never going to Babylon, never of the world, and putting your trust solely in him. And you shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. The stumbling block is your mind. And it's got to be taken out of the way of his people. Must be replaced. It must be seen as evil above all evil. The mind of Christ must replace it. The mind of Christ is total emptiness. So the channel between him and the Father is clean and clear. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. That's the only thing I've tried to do, really, for all these years. You take up the stumbling block by redeeming the time. So that time is never in, there's no issue that you're giving importance to that has time as a component. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. He revives it with newness, with a new heart, a new mind, a new land, a new everything that has no. That's what born again means. You're born from above. You're an alien who has infected the human race. And you'll be hated of all men. That's discipleship. Again, if you tremble at his word, and your response, if you don't think this can be done, is, Father, forgive me, I don't know what else to do, but I give my life back to you. I can never justify my rebellion. Rebellion is anything other than faith. You understand that? Whatsoever is not of faith is of the evil one, is of sin. There's no wiggle room. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made, for the iniquity of his covetousness. And you've got to hear this. He's talking to each one of us.
Where are we? Verse 17.
We're still in Isaiah, the same way we've been. Verse 17 now.
57 with the backup.
No, we went to 1:7.
I cast you up. Let's go back where we started about the stumbling block. Cast you up. Take away, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, neither, and this is where I said, each one of you, each one of us has to know that you got to hear what he's just saying right now. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made, for the iniquity of your covetousness, or his covetousness, not you, was I wroth, and smote him, I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of the heart. But I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked are like this troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked one, the evil one. And until you know that evil one, the wicked one, is your mind, you will always find a place to justify rather than faith. And that's the act, that's the gross act of rebellion. All right. We went over time. Anybody have any response?
Preparation for Yom Kippur.
That's why we're studying it. Abandon yourself. Divorce yourself. Forsake all that you have. Say goodbye to it. It's not yours anymore anyway. Say goodbye to all your idiotic opinions and ideas. say the goodbye to all your judgments. Be in a state of awe and trembling before His Word this weekend. All right, take a big guy.